This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, match preview podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and I'm joined by Sam and Albert. It's Chelsea away. Let's get it.
Reviews, predictions, comments and rants. Send us your voice clips on WhatsApp. 0203 575 1266.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, we're all extremely excited here because Kyle Walker's just gone in goal for Man City in the Champions League. Albert, you're sharing some fantastic memories of Selhurst Park and Neil Warnock teams.
Yeah, Rob Kozluck going in goal for the last like 15 minutes against us when we were 1-0 down against Sheffield United, and I think making a couple of good saves, frustratingly. I think Shipperley being guilty of some sloppy finishing. Outfield players in goal. It is, you know, the rarest of unicorns in the footballing game. I'm really excited.
Yeah, remember Clinton Hill going in goal at an away game. I always forget who it was against. And Julian Speroni went off injured, bleeding from the head. So he just went and got bandaged up. So he was only in goal for like 15 minutes while Speroni got the treatment. Pulled off a worldie of a point blank save from a one-on-one. And the entire away end just singing for the whole time he was in goal, England's number one.
Who do you think would be our outfield player of choice now should the worst happen and we have to do it?
It'll be Luca. Did you not see that video of him saving his own penalty?
Oh, don't watch that shit.
Well, I think the obvious choice is Max Meyer.
Victor Camarasa, we finally figured it out.
I don't know. I'd probably say James McArthur because he can pretty much do everything.
Yeah.
So I reckon it'd be handy between the sticks as well.
I reckon Cheikh Tiote because he's massive.
Yeah, he's really tall.
We all know the right answer is Jeffrey Schlupp, right goalie.
Yeah, and the following week he'd keep his place as well because Roy was like, oh, we've done a job.
Yeah, he's in possession of the shirt. It's his to lose.
Right, I don't think we need any more of this.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Right, Hesketh, you've got a bye this week because you're not feeling too well, are you?
No, I even had to come home from work. And I obviously, as everyone knows, I'm a massive workaholic. So this is big trouble in Little Norbury.
Yeah, you love the office more than anything else in life, I believe.
Yeah, that's very true. Which is why, unfortunately, there is no beer. There is only orange juice.
Now, can I just say, you didn't say I had to come home early. You said I had to come home. Do you not normally come home from work?
No, I usually sleep under my desk, actually.
All right, fair enough. Yeah.
And Albert, you've probably been for a couple of beers already trying to sort your internet out.
I'm on the dregs of one. I'm so excited at the prospect of Carl Walker in goal. I did consider going to crack open a third. but I'm probably just gonna nurse the last dregs of this Moncada Brewery Buco.
Buco. So is this Buco. Still from the box of your wife?
Hey, steady. No, it's a bottle of beer. Thank you very much. Yes, yeah, it's our fridge is full of nonsense beers, and I'm humouring you by very gradually making my way through them. I had a Clockwork Tangerine or some bullshit earlier. That was awful.
Yeah, Brewdog one. That's not too bad. So I'm on a beer from a sour from Upfront Brewing this week. And you all saw what it was called in the group. It's called Das Ist Techno Sex.
I'll be honest, I didn't see the sex. I just thought it was called Das Ist Techno.
Das Ist Techno Sex.
Nice. Did you say it's a sour?
It is a sour, yes. It's a...
What's that? Isn't that whiskey and egg?
It's a passion fruit and key lime goose with pink Himalayan salt and Indian coriander seeds.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And it's pretty good, actually. It's giving it.
It's funny. That's how I describe Man City's away kit.
It is definitely the worst away kit one of ever. Do you remember those sweets as a kid? They remind me of a sweet as a kid, like a like a sherbet dib dab kind of packet or something like that. Well, if you're a kid of a certain age, I guess.
Yeah, it rings a bell. I think my scout leader used to give them out.
Steady on.
Yeah, moving swiftly on to the academy, where hopefully there are no scout leaders. Steve Parrish, sporting a beard. Albert, what did you think of his beard?
Totally honest, didn't see it.
Well, just quickly...
What sort of beard? Describe it for me.
He's got a full beard. It's
what?
Yep, if you go to, while me and Sam are discussing this, go to the official Palace YouTube channel and watch the video of him talking about the academy and you'll see his beard. Although saying that, your 0.5 megabytes per second download speed on your internet might not be so great.
After resetting it, it is now running at an average of 20. Thank you.
Great stuff.
Shout out, BT.
I know you're a big fan of the beard, Hesketh.
Yeah, it took me a little while to realize what the difference was when he was on telly. It's a thin little beard.
I wouldn't go as far as to say it's wispy. I think it's pretty good, pretty filled in. Still like just a little bit longer than stubble stage, but yeah. Fills in those hollow looking cheeks that he's had of recent weeks. So it's probably why he's gone for it. But great news concerning the academy, and it looks like it's a lot further down the road than the new main stand is.
Yeah, and that was one of my concerns when this news first came out that, you know, we were going to announce things about the academy. I was hoping that there'll be something to actually announce rather than sort of a announcement of an announcement. But yeah, like you said, it seems like it's a little bit further down the line, and they were taking it to the local residents, I think, weren't they, this week to sort of get their views on it. So hopefully that will get going sooner than the new main stand, and we can push for the Category 1 status, which would be great.
Yeah, I think it's really important, that is. And I think over the last couple of years, there's been a lot more teams putting trust in youth on a more wide-scale basis, especially our opponents coming this weekend, Chelsea. And everyone's seeing that they cope quite well. So we need to find ways to get those players in, and we need the facilities to make, you know, South London an attractive proposition for them, especially considering there's not many teams in South London. And, you know, that good old catchment area that we talk about can be exploited from one academy to perhaps the greatest academy of all time, Ajax. They've been training at our ground today, Albert, our training ground. Bit of a come up for the books.
I bet Gyro Riederveld was happy to see him.
He tried to leave with him, apparently. Get on the plane, see if anyone noticed.
Yeah, but he had to go in excess baggage.
Yeah, but of course, loads of Palace fans all over social media have been after one thing, Hesketh, and that's a pre-season friendly against Ajax Amsterdam.
Oh, I mean, that would be the dream, wouldn't it?
Mm.
It's better than going to, you know, Bath City or something, no offence to them. Yeah, it'd be great. Maybe we can leave Gyro there and poach someone else.
Albert, would we be able to drag you along to Ajax away?
Yeah, probably. I've never been to Amsterdam before. Never been to Holland before. So
you've never been to Amsterdam before?
Nope.
Wow.
Don't like marijuana, and there's strippers in this country, isn't there? So.
That's not the reasons, the only reasons you go to Amsterdam. There are lots of other things there. It's a very beautiful city. You got the Van Gogh Museum, you got loads of canals, cycle around, tulips, nice. Clogs and all that. It's lovely, mate.
You've pretty much described Watford by the clog.
Yeah, and I don't think there's one Nando's in Amsterdam, let alone two. So,
what are you saying, Holland? Sold it out.
Right, what we've had this week is the Evening Standard writing that Crystal Palace fans might be banned for throwing missiles at Kasper Schmeichel. Now, I'll go away for one game, and it all seems to have gone off. Hesketh, do you want to explain to me what's happened here?
Well, yes. So there was a display before the game that was put on by the HF, which was the usual sort of hold up a bit of paper. And then during the game, fairly unprovoked, if there's something happened to start it off, I don't know what it was, but people sort of like scrunched them up and started lobbing them on the pitch while singing "Your shit and your dad's a c-," which was admittedly quite funny. But then it sort of kept going, and he had a bit of a, not a paddy about it, but he was getting in a bit of a huff, and it sort of became a bit obvious that, you know, the more people did it, the more trouble we'd get in, even though it's only bits of paper. But the ref sort of stopped it periodically and told him to, like, boot him off the pitch. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that something's come out. But considering all the games that, you know, we've seen flares and smoke bombs and that, a couple of bits of paper's not, you know, you're not going to give anyone a paper cut, are you? So,
yeah, I mean, we've literally sung that song about him every time he's ever turned up at Selhurst Park. So this isn't new. But yeah, I mean, I was obviously at the Dusseldorf Cologne game this weekend, and anyone who's seen the pictures I posted, it looked like the away end was on fire. There were so many flares in there, and yeah, the English press is reporting that missiles are being thrown on the pitch when, you know, it's a bit of screwed up paper that can barely reach the field of play. A bit crazy to suggest that people might get banned for doing that, but yeah, get a grip, and especially do not throw missiles this weekend, Albert, at the Chelsea game if you see Simon Jordan in the crowd, because it'll be his first game since he sold, and I loosely say sold, Crystal Palace back in 2010.
Yeah, I mean, it's only when he says it that you think, oh yeah, probably hasn't been to a game, but I mean, I like Simon Jordan. If I saw Simon Jordan, I'd shake him warmly by the hand. Something tells me he won't be in the away end, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be in the away end or not. I kind of hope that he would be. You know, if he's gonna do it and come back, he should sort of go back to his roots in that sense. And
would you?
Well, yeah, I think Palace fans can be quite forgiving. I really do. I've seen all sorts of different players in away ends at Palace and stuff like that. And I don't think anyone would give him grief at all. I think he'd get more of a hero's welcome than anything. I think enough time's probably passed. People who wouldn't want to say anything to him just wouldn't go over to him. And most people would be warm to him, I reckon. I've always said with Simon Jordan, you can't fault the bloke, like, in terms of what he was trying to do. He loved Palace. He wanted to make us successful, and but he just went the wrong way about it. He was just shit at it. But at the end of the day, he blew his fortune on us, is what he did. And
yeah, I fully agree. Yeah,
and I don't think there's any point having ill feelings towards him. Obviously, him and Parrish have problems, and he said in this interview on TalkSport, "I'll never go to Sellers Park while Steve Parrish is there." Said he's drawn a red line in his life between him and Steve Parrish, and he obviously feels that Parrish is taking over the club as a bit of a coup, which was unfair on him. And obviously, I don't think Parrish believes that. He was doing what he feels was best for the club. So I don't know what else to say, really, Albert.
Do you think that's why Parrish has grown the beard? Because he's scared that Simon Jordan might recognise him at the game and duff him up?
Or, you know, the beard might soak up some of the punches that Jordan throws at him or something. Bit of cushions the blow a little bit. What about you, Hesketh? Would you ignore him, talk to him, say hi?
I haven't thought about that. I don't really have an opinion on him. I think he made some silly mistakes. But then I guess we all probably have, haven't we, just with a lot less money involved. So, yeah, I think it was a bit of a twat at times, but he's all right. I'm water under the bridge in it.
Yeah, I think
we're in a better position now, so it's all good.
Yeah, I think the main mistake that Simon Jordan made was the ivory tower that he created for himself and didn't take advice, didn't talk to other people. We got on the wrong side of loads of other owners instead of sort of becoming part of the community where you can learn a lot, make friends, and you know, ultimately that cost us in 2005, if you think about it, that the only reason Charlton turned up famously was because they wanted to relegate us. They had nothing to play for, and, you know, they played the best they'd played in weeks because under the guidance from the Charlton chairman telling them to, you know, relegate Crystal Palace because the way Simon Jordan behaves. So, you know, that's going to have a small percentage of fans worship heroing him because, you know, that's probably how you should behave towards Charlton. But, you know, at the end of the day, a slightly nicer Simon Jordan might have seen us stay up that season, and heaven forbid he might still be in charge of us now. Last piece, Mark Bright. His book finally comes out tomorrow. If you haven't listened, he's been on the Headliners podcast on BBC Sounds talking about his book for 45 minutes. Very emotional listen, really. A lot of it is you know, him talking about him being brought up in a home when he was a kid and stuff like that. So, yeah, is Albert any more desire to buy Mark Bright's book based on you know, it being a little bit more of a deep, sensitive kind of book?
Yeah, I might get around to it one day. I mean, there's still things that I wanted to read 10 years ago that I haven't read. So, you know, like the TV guide, but there's no point in reading an old TV guide, is there? So,
did you used to like circle what you wanted to watch?
Oh, mate, still do it at Christmas. Video Plus, type in that 48 digit code to record Back to the Future Part 2 when you're at Auntie Mabel's on the 27th of December. They come and find it and fucking worked. Anyway, I've gone off on a bit of a tangent. Yeah, I would like to read it, but don't take it personally, Mark Bright. I just don't get a lot. If there's an audiobook, I'm on it.
You'd want to listen to his voice?
I was going to say, who would you want to read it out?
Stephen Fry, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
I've got a follow-up question on the TV Times, Albert. Do you have a specific pen colour if it's a movie you worked on that you're circling?
No. Mate, I've got those on DVD.
Yeah, avoid at all costs. One star.
Yeah. Ooh, Wrath of the Titans. Skip that one.
Is that the worst film you ever worked on?
End result, yeah, but it was a good laugh.
Was this the one when you wasn't on holiday in the Czech Republic?
No, that was Spider-Man. That was last year. This time last year, almost.
Mm. Where, was there any foreign shooting on Wrath of the Titans?
7 weeks in Tenerife in the height of summer.
Well, that's
glory.
That sounds pretty good, that does.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. Height of summer. No cheap accommodations. They couldn't stick you in, like, you know, some crappy hotel. So it had to be 5-star, unfortunately, because that was all that was left. So Take that.
This is what I imagine Jason Punchin and Bakary Sacco's life now at Paphos, just living in a 5-star hotel in the heat of Cyprus.
Down Lineker's, mate. Get down Lineker's.
Obviously. Wayne Lineker there, just... let's just leave it. Move on. Hesketh, you've got a message for one of your friends before we go off and talk about our trip to the bridge.
I have. It's just a quick one. And I know he listens to the pod, so I've already dug him out a little bit at the Leicester game. But Irish Alex, I woke up on Sunday morning to see that he, who is a Palace fan, had tweeted... words of support to Shane Duffy of Brighton because he's Irish. And when I called him up on it on Sunday, he did an about turn and walked off away from me because he knew exactly what he'd done. And I just want to publicly shame him on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, an utter disgrace. What's he's at on Twitter?
His at on Twitter is Alex P. Kelleher, I believe.
That's a spelling and a half, isn't it? get at him on Twitter and give him abuse because that's just basically all sorts of wrong. I don't care if he's Irish, mate. That's just, you better.
I didn't think you were allowed to do what you've just done. What do they call that?
Doxing.
Doxing. I don't think you're allowed to do that, mate.
Yeah, it is if it's Brighton related.
Yeah.
All right,
I think
fair
it's
enough.
Fine, yeah.
What? Send me his handle.
We'll do it. Shane Duffy, I think, is his handle. Right, let's go off to a short break, and when we come back we will be talking about our visit to Stamford Bridge on the weekend for a bloody 12:30 kickoff.
Back of the Nest Match Review Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Zaha. In Russia, and now he's equalised here at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea. Superb.
Well, starts from a sloppy ball from Pedro.
Here is Zaha. Now it's Benteke. He's in, and he's scored. Unbelievable. Eye-popping, show-stopping brilliance on the counter from Crystal Palace and Christian Benteke.
So, as you could hear there, the commentator saying eye-popping, show-stopping brilliance on the counter from Crystal Palace as Christian Benteke scored to make it 2-1 in our last victory at the Bridge. Hesketh, is it going to have to be another eye-popping, show-stopping brilliance on the counter sort of performance this coming weekend?
It will be eye-popping if Benteke scores.
Yeah, especially
sure.
With that much confidence.
I've got to say, though, that goal, I think if someone other than a Palace player had done it, if a Chelsea player had scored that goal, the commentator would have lost their mind. So it was a fantastic finish, that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are going to have to play very well. And I think playing on the counter, as we all know, suits us and is what we're good at. But I think after the debacle of more set-piece concessions, we're going to have to make sure we do that first before we worry about counter-attacking anything else, I think.
Yeah, let's get straight into that then. Albert, I've already told Hesketh this one. Chelsea, 0 goals from set pieces at Stamford Bridge this season so far.
That's quite a statistic. That will definitely change this weekend.
Yeah, what do you think's happened? Do you think it's the changing of the back four and goalkeeper over the last few weeks that just has put a bit of inconsistency in amongst the back line?
Yeah, I'm sure that doesn't help. But it's such a departure from how we're used to Hodgson teams dealing with set pieces that, you know, it's almost, I don't know what the answer is, but it almost feels like there's more to it than that. But I mean, that first goal on Saturday was appalling, was absolutely appalling from a defensive point of view.
Do you know what's even worse about that first goal is that initially Live Scores got it wrong, which is the app that links to my Apple Watch. So it came through when I was at the Dusseldorf Cologne game that we'd taken the lead. So there's me celebrating, only to promptly be, oh, no, correction, it's 1-0 to Leicester.
How did you style that out?
I was so pissed. I'd the night before I'd been to a poker night in Aachen, which is like an hour and a half train ride away from Dusseldorf. Got in after the poker night, went home via a nightclub, got in at about 5 a.m. and then was back up at 8:30 a.m. to get to Dusseldorf. And I was not sober by the time I got on the train to go. And yeah, so I don't think anyone really cared. I was making a fool of myself anyway. But you did touch on there about expecting Roy Hodgson teams to defend well from set pieces. But Hesketh, since Hodgson's been in charge, only 3 teams have conceded more goals than set plays against us. So is this just a bit more reverting to the norm? And we was in a bit of a purple patch before that.
Wow, that is a stat that I did not know, I have to admit. Yeah, I mean, I can't... It must be a pretty good purple patch because I genuinely don't remember us being particularly bad at set-piece defending. But for the last couple of games, I mean, like Albert said, the defending for that Leicester goal was absolutely atrocious. Someone posted a picture on Twitter, a still of just when the guy was about to head it. And, you know, there's only like 2 Leicester players in the picture. There's basically all of our team, but he stood completely on his own in the middle of the box. So it's not just sort of quite bad defending in the same way that, you know, like Louise's goal against Arsenal. It's really, really bad. I mean, it's atrocious. And I think, you know, especially when you're playing good teams, which Leicester are, and we done all right up until that point, you know, if you're giving them dollies like that to score, then you're really setting yourself up for failure, because as we know, scoring goals is our problem. So if we're letting in really easy goals every game now, we're really going to be climbing, you know, up a mountain to try and get anything out of the game. And I'm sure Roy isn't happy about it, and, you know, wants to tighten up and get our defence back on top. But I don't know whether that's because, you know, Kelly's not played and Tompkins has, which is a strange thing to say after how good he was last year. Or whether it's just a collective switching off, which needs to be cut out as quickly as possible.
It's a shame, really, because I thought up until, and almost after it as well, up until that first goal we did, I thought we defended really well from open play. You know, we look really solid. And then that was just, you know, just came out of nowhere, and it was a shocker, really, just absolute shocker, and really took the wind out of our sails, I thought.
Yeah, and it was Tompkins who lost his man for it. Can you see Kelly getting back in, Albert? Reverting back to, you know, if you look at statistically, I think we've only conceded 2 goals maybe when Kelly's actually been in the starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start basing the selection on something, you know, and I've said previously on this pod that whatever combination of centre halves we put out, you know, I'm almost happy with it. But if I had to pick a weaker one, or, you know, I almost can't say why, like Tompkins and Cahill seems to be the one that seems less attractive. You know, if Sacco's fit, I'd want Sacco in the you know, he'd be number one choice, and Cahill very closely behind. But I don't know what it is about Tompkins and Cahill as a combination that I don't like. I don't know if it's they're ever so slightly less mobile as a pair. I don't know. And you say Kelly's, the stats for when Kelly's in the team speak for themselves. So him and Cahill have been pretty solid as a partnership. So maybe we do revert. Yeah.
I feel if on paper, I would think, you know, Cahill and Sacco being a left-sided centre-back probably makes the most sense to have Cahill on his favoured right-hand side and Sacco on his left. But what you then create is you have 2 centre-backs that are trying to break the lines with passes, which can then probably cause confusion for what is, you know, a limited team in that sense of trying to create space with movement to pick up those balls in between the lines. When Sacco's got the ball, you know he's going to try and do it, so you can conform to that. When you've got both of them doing it, I just don't think our players are good enough in that sense to both to be looking for passes from both of them. So maybe there's some sort of confusion being caused in there. I haven't, that's just a thought that's come to me just as I'm talking. So I haven't put much into it, but it's just, I feel like, you know, a team of our level, we want one centre back making those passes and then one centre back just being all about the defending. And maybe that's why it works well with Cahill and Kelly in that sense, because you had your no nonsense and then you knew when Cahill was on the ball that you were looking for the pass that was going to perhaps help unlock the other team. But yeah, Tompkins has, you know, he's been in and out with injury and he's still definitely a bit rusty, but we can't have short memories. We've got to remember that Saka and Tompkins for large parts of last season were excellent. And we, but as from Brighton away, we know that and Brighton at home, I guess we know that Tompkins has a shocker in him occasionally, but then so does Sacco and so does anyone, I guess. So there you go. We can't complain. We've got four good quality centre backs, five quality good centre backs. So like you say, any two of them together really, but we need to find one and settle on it for a period of time, because at the moment it's starting to look a little bit ropey back there. Looking at our opponents, I was listening to Roman's Empire, which is a podcast run by some American Chelsea fans. Literally could not find a decent English run Chelsea podcast. But these two guys who were speaking were very knowledgeable. Jorginho will be suspended Hesketh this weekend. Which apparently is a huge loss for them. Him and Kovacic, get this stat, had 22% of the possession between them at Watford away last weekend.
Bloody hell.
That's insane. Watford only had 33% possession.
Jesus. I mean, that's great if he's not playing, but I did read somewhere that Kante was going to be back.
Yeah. I mean, it will be Kante.
I mean, you know, we're going to be happy with any little crumb that we can get, I think, when you're playing a team like Chelsea, who going forward have looked very good. And I think Jorginho's been a big part of how well they've been doing in the recent past. So great if he's not playing, you know, I think that's going to be a bonus for us. But when you've got someone like Kante who can come in and sort of slot in, it's not as big a loss, is it really, considering what a good player he is?
Mm. Albert, they drew 4-4 with Ajax on Tuesday night in the Champions League and really only got that result off the back of Ajax getting two red cards in the space of a minute when it was 4-1. So there's definitely goals to be had against them, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's been a few games this season in the league where they've seemingly look like they're cruising to a comprehensive victory and then, you know, conceded some late goals. And I know they 4-0 up against Wolves and then conceded two?
Burnley, 4-0 up against Burnley, yeah.
And then, I think Wolves previously as well, a couple of weeks ago, they were up against them and conceded some late goals.
That goes back past my research period.
that's all right. I'll do it for you, mate. You know, I think the weakest part of their team is their defence. You know, they seem to play very good football going forward, and I'm not the only one who thinks it's hard to dislike them at the moment. You know, I've never really had a problem with Frank Lampard at all. You know, I think he always comes across well. Seems to be doing a good job, and you know, and he's doing what we'd like to do. He's using, albeit via the means of having a transfer ban. Even though they're saying that that's not part of it, you know, he's using what you call their youth team and giving young players a chance, and they seem to be thriving. So it's kind of, I guess I'm a bit jealous, really. And I'd never say I was jealous of Chelsea in recent years. But yeah, I think at the back is where they're weakest. You know, they've got some young players back there, and Zouma's, I think, prone to a howler every now and then. So. Whilst I think it'd be difficult to get anything out of the game, I certainly don't think it's the biggest stretch of the imagination to imagine getting at least a goal.
Yeah, I mean, for all this talk of them being not great at the back, they do seem to score a lot of goals, which is a worry for me. Like my research for this pod was not watching the game yesterday because I was at a concert.
Anyone could? So.
It was a French singer called Lolo Zouai who was...
Imagine my shock.
Imagine your shock, a French concert. She was fine. So that's this week's music review out of the way.
And how was there singing?
Hooray, I was there with my wife. sound effects on point. They seem to be good, Chelsea, going forward and scoring a lot of goals. And I'm a bit wary that we're letting in silly goals. I think that's my thing. Not to say that we are incapable of scoring against them. You know, obviously scoring two goals at Arsenal, two goals at Old Trafford shows we can do it against the bigger clubs, in inverted commas, away. But I'm just a bit worried that our slack defending of late is going to play into their hands a bit.
Yeah, they do score a lot of goals, and Tammy Abraham's scoring a lot of them. And thinking back to when he was on loan at Swansea, he absolutely destroyed Martin Kelly to win a diving header and score a goal in that game. So maybe bringing Kelly back in for this one's not the right choice in that sense. We might have to make some changes ourselves. Albert, James McArthur, back injury, was it, that forced him off early against Leicester on the weekend?
Oh, it looked like a nasty one as well. Maybe a bit winded for good measure. And I think McArthur was fantastic. Again, certainly in the first half, I thought he was the a vintage McArthur performance, just absolutely everywhere, trying to do it, almost trying too hard at times just to do everything. But, you know, is it an opportunity for Max Meyer? You know, I don't know if Townsend will be back in time for this weekend. So, you know, as disappointing as it is that McArthur won't be there, certainly if Townsend's back, you know, we've midfield is where we've kind of got almost as many options as we have at centre half. So, I'm sure, as long as it's only for a game, I'm sure we could scrape by in a game that, you know, realistically it's slim pickings that we get anything out of it anyway.
No Jairo Reid of old coming in?
Probably not, mate, to be honest.
Victor Camarasa's got more chance, I hear. But
yeah, I think you're right. Unless yeah. Jairo eats him.
I mean, James McArthur will always be a huge miss. I think pretty much everyone is. It's been a slow burner, but after 5 years or 6 years, he's been with us now, 5 years, he's everyone's pretty much on the side now and appreciates what he does for the team. And hopefully he'll be fit again, or, you know, maybe he'll just get rested, international breakup come in, kind of a bit like they did with Vicente Guaita, you know, give him those couple of weeks just to let it ease down a little bit. But Heskiff, I keep going back to the Leicester game because I wasn't there, and the 2-0 scoreline and seeing Jamie Vardy flapping around like an eagle, you know, I had no desire to watch back the highlights. Max Meyer appeared to be getting some sort of backlash on Twitter for his performance. So is it likely that he'd be the person who would step in?
Yeah, he did get a bit of backlash, which I thought was a bit unfair. I mean, he wasn't very good, to be fair, but, you know, he's getting the odd 10-minute cameo here and there, if at all. So, you know, it's tough for him to come in and make a huge difference when the rest of the team had sort of shut down really anyway and weren't doing much. I'd like, as always, I'd like to see him start games and maybe play not as a winger. I know that that's a very tough ask, but I think, you know, if we are to see the best of him, I think we'd have to, you know, give him a run of games from the start rather than these little sub appearances. I'd be surprised if he plays. I mean, I think if Jimmy doesn't, then you're either going to see McCarthy back in or Andros if he's fit, you know, like we did against West Ham. So I'd be very surprised if Max is going to get a game, because I think he's got a massive uphill struggle now to push himself into real, you know, regular reckoning for a first team place. But I'd like to see it always. I think he's a good player. We just haven't seen anywhere near the, you know, what he's capable of, especially this season.
Yeah, that's for sure. And again, it's, you don't want him to start getting those runs in games away from home against big clubs as well, especially where he's shut it out wide left. I don't think that's where he's going to be able to thrive, and it's going to be a bit harsh on him. But, you know, he did well at City that time. We won 3-2 there. You know, it's in him. So, I don't know. We'll see. But like say, if he's out, I reckon it'd likely be James McCarthy that comes in. Right, a little bit of a concept here. On the Romans Empire podcast, Albert, they said that with Hazard's departure, it's seen several players evolve at Chelsea because, you know, plan A and B and C and D is no longer give the ball to Eden Hazard. And it got me thinking, is it a similar thing with us and Wilfried Zaha in that sense that, you know, most of our faults is to go through him, and if teams can shut that down, then there's nothing really left that we can do.
Yeah, I mean, if that wasn't the question that you were going to ask, that was the point that I'd have made. Yeah, I think it's completely sort of typifies, you know, our playing style and how we've played over the last sort of four or five seasons. You know, it is, everything goes through Wilf. You know, there was a time when, you know, I don't know, it's changed since, where, you know, the stats clearly showed that we've not won a game without him. You know, famously, we got a win against Chelsea after seven games, no goals, no wins. And it's because Zaha came back in the team and put in a wonderful display. Hopefully we'll see that again this Saturday. But yeah, it's, you know, do we need to sell Wilf potentially even to Chelsea to free the shackles on Jeff Schlupp, you know? Like, is that the price we need to pay?
I don't think the shackles need to be freed on Jeff Schlupp. I think they don't exist. There are no shackles. Although, as Hambo called him on the review show, he called him Jog Free Schlupp. His inability to run it faster than a jog. admittedly, he did say that he needed to work on that one, but there you go. What about you, Heskiff? Do you think, I know that you're with me, and Wilfried Zaha is one of the best players, if not the best player to ever play for Crystal Palace. But, you know, are we getting to the time now where it's, you know, the perfect time for everyone for him to head off? And it looks like Chelsea could be the team that he goes to with the recent rumours that have come about, and for us to then sort of kick on and, you know, in a sense, do what Chelsea are doing at the moment, look to youth and expand it out a bit.
Well, I mean, I never want to see Wilf leave. We all know that. And I think it's a lot easier to thrive without your star player when you've got players like Willian coming through, you know, players like Mason Mount doing really well, getting in the team. I don't really see who gets in from our current squads that makes a difference in as big a way as that. But money talks, doesn't it? And I think we said throughout the summer that if someone bids as much as we are asking for Wilf, then we'll let him talk to them, which inevitably will mean he'll go. And even though there wasn't really any rumours at the time, I always sort of assumed Chelsea would be in for him and it would work out well for him because he stays in London and they're likely to win something or other, which, you know, Everton aren't. We get a lot of money. Maybe we get Mishy as part of the deal or something. So I think it's a deal that makes a lot of sense, as much as I don't want it to happen. But if we do eventually sell him, which inevitably it looks like we will, unfortunately, I do think we're going to find it very, very hard. You know, it's fine to say we'll just have to figure out a way to win without him. It's a lot easier to say that than actually do it. And like I say, you've got the resources that Chelsea have, and when you have the amount of money going into the academy that Chelsea have, I think it's a bit easier to do that than it is for Palace.
So what you're suggesting is a swap deal for Willian, Batshuayi, and then we'll give them Zaha and get a bit of cash.
Sure.
sounds about right. Albert?
I think the danger for Wilf is, you know, if Chelsea carry on as they are, you know, again, they're giving youth a chance. They're still finding a way to play the more experienced players like Willian. You know, you look at their sort of midfield roster, you know, Loftus-Cheek, Ross Barkley, you know, Kante, Mason Mount, Pulisic, Willian. You know, if they carry on doing well with what they've got, are Chelsea gonna blow 50 million quid or whatever upwards of 50 million quid on Zaha? Mm. You know, we've all been saying, you know, City, Liverpool aren't going to come in for him. Tottenham probably can't afford him. He ain't going to go back to United. Turns out, you know, this summer Arsenal couldn't afford him. We were all disappointed that the prospect that he would go to a club of Everton's stature. So that kind of focus. They've lost Hazard. Chelsea seems to be the most obvious fit for him now. But like I say, if they carry on in the vein that they are, I'm not sure they'd want to blow the money on it and upset that balance with what seems to be quite an effective system with what they've got at hand.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not one of the big teams in England, surely he'd go abroad. I mean, he must realise now that Everton would have been a disastrous decision, and he's not going to achieve what he wants to achieve in that sense. So I say he's always in Paris, go to Paris Saint-Germain or something like that. I think that will keep us all very happy. You know, even the HF have links with the Paris Saint-Germain ultras and go to games over there. So it's a little home away from home for him in that sense. But, you know, yeah, this is all obviously just theoretical speaking. And the comparisons between Hazard leaving Chelsea seem to sort of mimic where we might get to in the future. Right, all that leaves us for now is predictions. We've got some from the internet today. Jack Davey has sent me a picture of Desmond Tutu dancing with the Dalai Lama. So I'm assuming he's saying 2-2 there. Will Hamilton's gone for a 4-0 Chelsea win. Billiam, former producer of this podcast, 2-1 Chelsea. Neil Tipping's just predicted rain. Really hope not. Chelsea 3-1 from Phil. Thomas Lopez says 1-1. Chelsea offense flying high after the Ajax match. Going to need Wardy and PVA to be at their best. I can see one of those being at his best. To have a good shot of staying in the game and hope Wilf and Ayu can get a few good shots off to test the feeble-minded, faced, smashed Kepa. Did you see that, Albert? Him taking the ball in the mush.
Oh, what? And then it going in off the mush.
And then Michy Batshuayi retweeting a video and saying, "Welcome to the meme club," after he took the ball in the face when he kicks it against the post in the World Cup. Sam Jordan, who was on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, has said, "Eagle Boys live and direct, 2-1 win." That's one lunatic. And 2-1 from George, who says, 5-year stadium ban for me once Schlupp scores the winner. So big Jeffrey Schlupp fan there is George. Right, Albert, we'll go with you. What are you predicting?
I think it was Phil who predicted a 3-1 Chelsea victory. Phil, I'm with you, mate. 3-1 Chelsea victory.
And I assume we're going to get something similar from Hesketh.
Yeah, a little bit too optimistic, that. 3-0.
A little bit too optimistic. No, Charlie Peach 7 on Twitter says, Wilf masterclass, Palace 6-0. I think that might be the more optimistic prediction. I will go with I think we'll lose 3-2. They seem quite porous at the back, but you know, I just don't see how we're going to stop them going forward. The only chance really is that they've not been as good at Stamford Bridge as they have been away from home, so you never know. We might be able to grab a draw if we're lucky, but 3-2 Chelsea is what I'll end with. We'll be back after this.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Right, that's your lot for this week. Listen to the podcasts on Spotify, I've been told to say. Apparently now Spotify, we're getting as much listeners on there as we do iTunes. So hello everyone listening on Spotify. Of course, on there you'll be able to listen to the Love Sport pod, which DR has made his own, really. And of course, listen to the review show, which will be out on Sunday this week onwards up until... Well, it'll be the next preview pod, which will be in a couple of weeks now, because obviously we have an international break coming up before we face the final one of the top five teams in a row when Liverpool come to Selhurst Park. Head over to backinthenest.com, read our articles there, send your voice notes to the review show on 0203-575-1766. Follow us on the socials at Back in the Nest, and Yeah, that's it. Albert, thanks for joining. Thanks for sorting your internet out finally.
Mate, just turn it off and turn it on again.
It's an age-old adage, but it works. And Heskiff, thank you for joining us in your sick state.
Oh, you're most welcome.
I'm glad the vitamin C got you through, Val.
Fingers crossed. I'm going to bed now.
And make sure next time Irish Alex comes over, let us all know where he is so we can duffy him up. Until 2 weeks' time, up the palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.